Okay, so we're skipping ahead a bit simply because we wanted a shear that didn't require too much preparation and we could do on the first Friday to not lose today.
And because our next 8 topics are all going to be done out of order anyway.
Yeah, because whatever. So we're going to take on the topic of ribbis dvarim, verbal ribbis. Admittedly, there are two separate parts to the shear. One of them I've already given in this context, so I'm just going to allude to it and not get into the details and focus on ribbis dvarim itself. So the last Mishnah in the Perek tells us that Rishimon Omer Yesh ribbis dvarim. There's such a thing as verbal ribbis. What does that mean? So lo yomar lo da kiva ish ploni mimakom ploni. So the Mishnah says it means don't tell him, right, that you should know that such and such a person came from such and such a place. Now that's a bit ambiguous, which leads to machlokas rishonim that we'll come to a bit later, of who's speaking, who's telling who, what does it mean? But when most people talk about ribbis dvarim, they talk about not the Mishnah's case, but the Gemara's case from the Braisa, which says, Tanya, Rishimon Riochai Omer, Minayin Lenoshe Bechaveir Omane. How do I know that if someone owes money, Veina Ragel Hakdim Lo Shalom, and he doesn't normally greet him, or he isn't makdim shalom. I'll be very careful here. Sha'asr lahakdim lo shalom, that he can't now extend a greeting. First, Talmud lomar neshech kol davar asher yishach. Afilu dibur asr. So make a drush on the word davar, that it means even dibur, that even if not only are you returning the money that you borrowed, but you're returning a greeting, so that's interest, that's usury, and therefore it is asr. The way the Yerushalmi formulates it, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kasha HaRibis, Ribis is so stringent. Sha'af HaTova Ribis, because even providing Tova, which is understood to mean even saying, I don't know, good morning or something like that, is Asur. HaReish Omer Lekech Lo Yerek Min Ashuk. And the example it first gives is if you say you're going to buy a vegetable, Af Pi Shanasan Lamosav, HaReish Ribis, if he does a favor for you, Rishim Omer Kasha HaRibis Sha'af She'la Shalom Ribis. Sorry, Tova is a favor. Shalom is greeting. Lo shalom yamav. Val shalom amenu hikdim. Lo shalom hareze ribis. You didn't greet him before, and now you do. So that is ribis. So first, before we get into what it is this, whatever this is, biblical or rabbinic? So the simplest understanding would have been that it's only rabbinic prohibition, because as the Mishnah and Gemara outlined at the beginning of the Perek, in order for something to be biblical ribis, it needs to entail neshech v'tarbit, a gain on behalf of the lender and a loss on behalf of the borrower. And in this case, if I say good morning to you, again, we're going to come back to this and modify it, but whatever it is that lamakdim lo shalom means, it doesn't cause a monetary loss to the loveh, so you would have thought that it's rabbinic, and it is the majority position amongst poskim, but there are those who thought it's d'oraisa. So if you look, for example, in the Rivash, in number 3, the Rivash in Siman Kuf Mem Zayin says, V'nidon zenami af alpi shemocher adam chovo bepachos, k'she'ein sham halva l'mechir eschov bovad, av k'she'ein sham halva gemura v'aribis u'mechir eschov zev, v'adir is gemura, v'eich lower. He's dealing with a different case, but he, without getting to his case, he said, this is obviously ribbis, and how could it not be? V'alo afil lahakdim lo shalom ameinu ragil asur midichziv neshech kol davar asher yishach afilu dibur asur. He said, how could that other thing, which is actual ribbis, not be ribbis, if ribbis dvarim is ribbis based on a pasuk? V'kol shekhen zeh shemitchilin ischayev lo b'chatzer b'kern v'ribbis v'achak par lo ribbis b'asha, etc. And the Rivash seems to say that ribbis dvarim, whatever it is biblically prohibited. However, the majority position is, as you see in number 4 in the Sefer HaTrumos, which is rabbinic. V'chein asru chachamim shelo yomar hamalve lilove da imba ish ploni mimakom ploni. This ribbis dvarim is rabbinically asur. Look at in the Chachmas Adam. Vafil ribbis dvarim aser ketzad im lo hayaragel lahaktim lo shalom aser lahaktim lo v'lo yomer lahodiyeni im ba'ishponi makom poni v'chayotze bau v'asmechu. This is the key part. It's just an asmachta. V'asmechu akra kol davar sheishach afilu dibur. It's an asmachta, but it's not from the pasuk. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman points out that Tosos seems to, though some of the Acharonim try to read it otherwise, Tosos also seems to think it's d'oraisa. Again, it's a minority position, but there are certain important names behind it. If you look at Tosos in number 6, Tosos in Kiddushin discussing a sugya of Mekadesh B'mashkon says v'im tomar ikat stoka mashayachsor l'shkov alav v'yishlom redayik minuchiv v'shachav v'sim lato v'eracheka v'ylo avei konele imken kishim mivarcho ha'ani havei le'ribis dvarim. He assumes that when someone takes a mashkon, it must be that he owns it, and therefore, when he returns it, as the Torah says you have to do, return the mashkon, if the borrower needs it, the Torah calls it staka. He's doing staka because technically he now owns it. And the pasuk continues with erachecha, that the ani, the poor person who you're returning the mashkon to, will bless you. And Tosafot says, well, it must be that you actually own the mashkon, and that's why it's permitted for the poor person to give you a bracha when you fulfill what the Torah said and you give him the mashkon. Because otherwise it would be ribiz dvarim. So the Kovach Shirim notes, Rochana notes, that if Tosfos reads this into the pasuk, meaning he says, it must be that on a biblical level you acquire collateral such that when you return it, the ani is allowed to say thank you, is allowed to give you a bracha. Because otherwise, be ribiz dvarim, he must be assuming that the entire thing is biblical. Mivur midivrayim, as he says in number 7, de ribiz dvarim asur midareisa. But again, as he said, it's true, Tosfos says it's true, the Rivash seems to say it, but the majority position, Rishonim Achronim, is that ribiz dvarim is only derabanan, because, as he continues, v'kasha dafilu neima da bracha shaver pruta lemalveh, even if the poor person saying thank you or giving a bracha was worth a shavar pruta, which would meaning that you would have tarbit, akadi avi tarbit b'lo neshech, so there would be financial gain to the creditor, but there would be no monetary loss to the lender. And since biblical ribis needs both a loss and a gain, it can't be that ribis dvarim is de'araisa. She'ein alo v'chasar klum. The oser kasher lavi ribis k'tutza. Besides, there's two major requirements for biblical ribis. One is that there be both a financial gain to the creditor and a loss to the lender. And two, that it be stipulated from the beginning. Neither of these happened, right? There's no loss to the lender, and you didn't stipulate at the beginning, I am lending you $100 on condition that you return $100 and you greet me every morning, right? Lohayu dvarim, I mean, maybe it happened, but it didn't, it very rarely happens. That's presumably not what's going on. And for those two reasons, the majority position is, against the seeming implications of Tosfos and the Rivash, that ribiz dvarim is only dirabanan. Okay. Now, ribiz dvarim is not just, let's assume it's derabanan, it's actually an exceptional, well, yeah.
I don't understand this at all. The whole purpose of ribiz is to create and promote great relations between our brothers.
We're going to come back to it. Don't worry. Don't worry. I have a whole theory of ribiz dvarim, which is against what many others say, but I'm going to come back to that. First, I'm just setting it up. But, okay. You know, normally I just survey. Here, I'm going to make an argument. Okay, let's assume it's rabbinic. It's a unique rabbinic law. And the reason is, I'll read this for you outside, but I gave it to you if you want to look at it afterward, in the Sefer Noos Yaakov, which is Rav Yaakov Kahana Shapira, but not the one that's currently alive and a Rosh Hashiva in Merkaz, but the one which was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, apparently, according to the front of the Sefer. In his Tshuvot, in Nevot Yaakov, he notes that there's a machlokes rishonim, whether ribiz dirabanan, ribiz d'oraisa, as the Gemara already tells us, the malveh violates, the loveh violates, the edim violate, the dayanim violate, the sirsur violates, etc. The machlokes rishonim, whether ribiz d'rabanan applies to everybody or only to the malveh, only to the creditor. However, he notes that while there are many prominent rishonim who think that rabbinic ribiz only applies to the creditor, ribiz dvarim is either disproves that rule or is an exception to the rule, because unless the malveh had stipulated that the loveh needs to say good morning to him, the way it's formulated is that the loveh cannot now initiate makdim shalom to the malveh, and we're forbidding the loveh from doing it. So if it's rabbinic, we now have a case of rabbinic ribiz, which devolves not on the malveh, but primarily on the loveh. And therefore, This could be a counterproof to the positions who say that ribis derabanan only applies to the malveh. But then he says, no, really, I think they're right. I think in general, ribis derabanan only applies to the malveh. If it's possible to impose it on the malveh, ribis dvarim is impossible to impose on the malveh. It can only be imposed on the lova. That's the whole point, is the lova cannot now initiate makdim shalom or the like. This is not necessarily true, as we'll see, but let's assume that this is the case.
I feel like you're playing two different games with ribis dvarim, in the sense that you could look at the question of ribis dvarim, like the two questions that you asked before, that you asked just before. You could look at dvarim as just another form of currency, in which case it can be d'oraisa, it can be d'rabanan.
Well, it can't be d'oraisa because there's no... because there's no neshech.
Well, that would be the question, is how is this d'oraisa if there's no neshech? But fundamentally, dvarim are just another form of currency, which if it's katsuts meirosh, and assuming we saw
right.
neshech,
so if it's katsuts,
it's d'oraisa, and if not, then it's d'rabanan. That's one way to look at it. But then you're presenting this other way to look at it, which is that it's by its very nature, this dvarim should be a d'rabanan. Even if you were kotzeitz, even if you set up in the beginning... Nonetheless, because it's only dvarim, therefore it's going
to be... there's two things, right? There's two reasons why it should be derabanan. One is that there's no ktsitsa, and even if there is ktsitsa, there's no neshech, right? I mean, there is tarbit, but there's no neshech. There's two distinct reasons why it should be derabanan.
Correct.
That's what Rav Chanan notes, right? That there's usually no ktsitsa, and even if there is ktsitsa, there's no neshech. There might be tarbit, but there's no neshech.
Right.
Presumably there actually is tarbit. I'm going to argue there is tarbit, but...
You seem to be arguing both axes. That's why I'm...
There's really two. There may or may not be tarbit, right? I'm going to argue there might be tarbit, but there's definitely no ktsitsa and there's no neshech, so it's almost definitely not the oraisa.
Saying there's no ktsitsa is not inherent to ribis dvarim.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at.
Well, and that Reuel Chanan, Reuel Chanan's already the one who notes there's two distinct reasons why it's probably not the oraisa. Right? Ktsitsa and neshech.
But it's not true. In other words, you could have...
You're right. It's not usually...
Ktsitsa is not inherent in ribis dvarim.
Correct. The deficiency of ktsitsa is usually deficient. The lack of neshech is definitional.
Right. So why don't you just look at ribis dvarim as another version of the question of ribis without neshech?
Which is...
Just leave it at that. And in the event that you decide that there's no neshech, so good, it's derabanan. In the event that you decide that neshech is not necessary, or that neshech is somehow involved, then it's going to be a deraisa, assuming that you have all that you've satisfied.
Assuming
all the other conditions of...
I mean, I assume he's just saying that, you know, you have two, one definitional and one usual. Let me just finish this thought before I lose it. So the note Yaakov notes that, let's assume it is derabanan, it does seem to break the rule that ribis derabanan only applies to the malveh, according to those Rishonim, because this is on the loveh. So either this, in fact, disproves it, and we can move on, or he says, no, it's not that there's a real rule, like you can't impose ribis derabanan on the loveh. It just means that ribis derabanan, we set up a certain number of gedarim to protect us from ribis d'oraisa. It's not necessary, usually, to impose that on the lova. We just impose on the malveh. I mean, all we need to do is set up some gedarim. But if there turns out that there's a type of ribis derabanan that cannot be imposed on the malveh, so we impose it on the lova. I mean, it's not like a rule. It's only on the malveh. It's just that we only need to impose it on whoever it needs to be imposed upon. In the case of ribis derabanan, it can only really be imposed on the lova. Okay, fine. Jerry.
In general... Forget about the ribis requirements. Words are off, without this dibur, addition. Generally, words are not culpable so much. A word is not a masa. It's not.
Don't worry. We're going to come back to all of this. I have a whole theory about this that's going to complicate everything. But so far, that's why I've avoided defining it yet, because first I want to really set up the problem. But you're right. There's so many problems with this. Okay. One third issue on the d'oraisa d'rabanan question. Again, this is not a definitional. This is a usual problem. Is there's, in order for something to be ribis d'oraisa, you really need many things. But we've discussed two of them. You need ktsitsa and you need neshech and tarbit, there's actually a third thing you need, which is that it should be, and this, right, Tertina will discuss next week, I think, that it has to be bishas pirao.
That's Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Next week is Yisomim.
Yisomim, okay. So Erev Rosh Hashanah is that any ribis, even if there's actual monetary like components to it, if it's paid later or earlier, you know, like you pay somebody $100 so that he'll extend you a loan, or a week after the loan was paid back, you give him another $100, because it wasn't part and parcel of the payment of the loan, that's called Remiz Mukdemes Eruz Mocheres, and that's also Dirabanan. The problem here is that often, thank you, let's say, happens after the loan has been paid back, or no, not always, right? It could be that it happens bishas piron, but this question of under what circumstances it is dvarim usher comes down to partially, right? Do you view this as ribis d'oraisa? If it's ribis d'oraisa, the only time you would violate is if it followed the formal rules of shas piron and the like. If it's ribis d'rabanan, so then it can just be an extension. Ribis d'rabanan, just like ribis mucheres is usher, so ribis dvar mucheres is usher and the like. So this starts in a Midrash Tanaim, actually, in number 9. Why do you repeat this twice? Ela yesh ribis mukdemes v'yesh ribis mucheres v'ribis bishas milva. There are three types of ribis. These are all we paskin derabana. The Rabbi Gamliel, at least in here, seems to say it's deraisa. Ribis mukdemes mucheres, and then ribis bishas milva. What is that? Haketzad. Mechabdo ad shelolava mimenu, sheyesh beliba lelavos mimenu, umechabdo, mishelava mimenu, al shelava mimenu, umechabdo, bishaz milve, nimtez ome, ribis mukdemes, mucheres, ribis bishaz milve. So there is ribis dvarim at three potential points, and the Rav Gamliel seems to think all of them are deraisa, right? There's ribis mukdemes dvarim, ribis bishaz piron, dvarim, and ribis mucheres dvarim. Now, we paskin that ribis mucheres and ribis mukdemes are derabanan, but that just begs the question, okay, well, Rabbi Gamliel opened up the issue, so now how do we paskin, right? Is ribis dvarim only a problem bishas piraon, or is it a problem even mukdemes mucheres? If it's daraisa, it can only be aser bishas piraon. If it is derabanan, it can be aser whenever. So you look at number 10, the Rambam says, Mishalova mechavero velo hayaragil mikodem lahaktim lo shalom, aser lahaktim lo shalom. If you didn't normally greet, then you greet, that's aser. Ve'ein tzarach lomer shekalsu b'dvarim, and for sure praising him is aser, yashkim lepischo shenemar, neshech kol davar, afilu dvarim asurim, v'chein aser lo Lilamed is Amalve, Mikro, Gemara, Kozman, Shema, Usav, Biyado. So the Achronim pick up on this phrase right here, that the Rambam says that all of this seems to be Usur. Now, it's a little bit unclear to figure out where this is supposed to go on, right? The latter part of it, that it's Usur to teach his son, or learn with him, is only when the money's in his hands. So the Achronim, many of them, assume that this goes on the entire halacha. If it goes on the entire halacha, so then the Rambam is saying that ribis dvarim is limited to the time of the loan, right? Now, if it's daraisa, that makes a lot of sense. If it's darabanan, it still could make sense. It doesn't need to be that way, but it could be that way. The Nesiva Shalom, I gave it to you in 11, notes. Lashon HaRambam mevur da isru dafka kol zman sha adayin chayev lo v'cheinu lashon HaShulchan Aruch. Omnam, but he says, nira dein lahakel achar piraon. He said, but if you ask me, I wouldn't be makel unless it's after piraon. Because, you know, that would be weird, right? If you did it bishas piraon, that seems to be the logical time to violate ribis dvarim. Uvesever darkei tshuva, makel achar k'dei dibur mea piraon. He is makel as long as it's after k'dei dibur. Again, taking this very formal approach that it's at least either ribis d'arais are modeled after ribis d'arais, and therefore has to be during the time of the loan. V'lchora hutamua, the kosher and nostalgia is a kibiron, or is it lo shas piron, or is it shas piron, v'rakim enam oskimbo, so enyan yesh makom lahakel. The Ad HaMelech, As well, notes that this is, deals with this issue. Right, he quotes the Beis Yosef, and he says, "The Dafka Maskenol B'nei Shayim Osef B'Tilas Eslo Inkom Boskemodim." He suggests that it's only us, or if he actually says, "I am greeting you because I have money with you," and then he gets into a complicated circuit. And then the third line, he says, "But maybe this is different from the case of living in his property." The shiny husband going to Moscow, Bishvam Osef B'Tilas Eslo V'Dumya Deribis Mucheres. So maybe this is like Ribis Mucheres. V'im Isa V'Lameimar V'Yishlomer De'efshar Gon Sheiskeru V'Yishlomer De'Mayri B'Gomer De'Shani Yosam Mazu Pashut De'Mayri B'Chay Gavna, etc. So he assumes that it's like Ribis Mucheres, and therefore it's Rabbanan, it'll be Aser even later on, not only when the money is still extended. The Shir Bracha has this discussion as well in 13. Okay.
So those are Ribis Mucheres. Is there a point in time where...
Yes, the poskim deal with it. Yeah, like, maybe... It's okay. Right, we'll get to it, right? Only, you know, is it...
I mean, when, it can't be forever.
Right, well, that's... I'll leave that to
actually,
you.
Actually, it might be.
It might be, but we'll leave it to you. Okay. So that sort of wraps up the Doraisa Darabanan question, where there's three potential problems. Ktsitsa, which is not fundamental, but usually happens. Mucheres, Mukdemes, or Bishaito, which again... If it's Daraisa, it has to be Bishaito. If it's Derabanan, it could or could not be limited to Bishaito. And the most significant is the Neshech Tarbit discussion, where there might be Tarbit. You might be getting a gain, but you clearly aren't losing. So we'll work on the assumption that it's Derabanan based on that. Okay. I'm going to summarize outside 14 to 16. I gave it to you to remind you of the sugya. I'll read 14, but I won't read the rest. One of the main discussions you have to have in Ribbis Dvarim is comparing the Sugya 9-Hey with the Sugya on Samach Dalet, where the Mishnah there had said that Hamal v'schaveru l'yadar v'chatzeru chinam v'lo yiskar menu v'pachos m'vneishnu Ribbis, that when someone lends money to someone, the creditor can't then start living in the lender's and the borrower's property for free or for cheap, because that's usur. And Tosos, in that context, had asked the question, if I can't allow you to live in my property, and I can't say thank you to you, and I can't greet you, I mean, what exactly can I do? What are the rules? And we had seen that there were a lot of nuances, but there were two basic principles. Principle one that everyone agrees to is something will be ribbis if you wouldn't have done it for the creditor before, and now you're doing it for the creditor because they lent you money. That's clearly ribbis at some level. Daraisa, derabanan, that's going to be ribbis. Two is the Rishonim debate. What happens if I would have done this for the creditor beforehand, but when I do it, it's very public? So even though I would have done it, not everyone knows I would have done it for him before, so it looks like ribbis. So some Rishonim say the only question you have to ask is, in all these cases, would you have done it for the creditor before? If you would have done it, then it's not ribbis because it's not a function of the fact that he lent you money. If you wouldn't have done it before for him, so then it's usur. Other Rishonim say no. Even if you would have done it for him before, and therefore it shouldn't be ribbis, if it's public, it's usur anyways because it looks wrong. We discussed this when we did that. So yeah, we noted nafkaminas to that, the position of the Marshal, that if you're a gabbai, you shouldn't be able to call him up for an aliyah, you know, living his property. We dealt with lending someone your car, the chadoma. That was the discussion then. But just to remember that is part of this discussion. Okay, for the next 35 minutes, what I want to deal with is now come back to all of Jerry's problems, which I have as well, okay?
So here's all the ones mentioned.
Okay, all the ones mentioned, fine. Okay. So what I've held up until now is, okay, well, what exactly counts as ribbis dvarim? What is this thing, right? Let's start with this, with the one in the Gemara, which, right, you can't be makdim shalom. So what does makdim shalom mean? So there is a group of achronim who say that makdim shalom means exactly what you would think it means, that you can't say hello. And then they expand it, and they say, not only can you not say hello, you can't say thank you. You can't say anything. Ribbis dvarim means that once I lend you money, I can't give you anything more than you gave me. So if you gave me $100, I can't give you back $100 and a thank you. Right? Shulchan Aruch Rav 17. Vafil ledaber diber tov b'shvil halva. Even to mention something good because of the loan, or because he extends alone asur kagon lahaktim lo shalom and loya ragam itchila lahaktim lo, if you to greet him, if you didn't greet him before the ain zarachlom lakalsu b'fanav lahode, and for sure you can't praise him o lahodos, nor can you thank him u lahachzik lo tova, or owe him a favor o levarcho b'fanav, or say, you know, tizka lemitzvos al shel veyu al shel chiv lozman, and that he lent you money or that he extended it. Shenemar neshach kol davar sheishach avil divar asur. V'im sarach levakish menu shel veyu shearachiv lozman, and if you need to ask him, and normally when people ask to borrow money or ask to extend the time of a loan, you know, they try to be nice, you know, a warm good morning. They try to get the person in a good mood. That's usur, right? That's Rabbi Zvarim. So yivakech b'divrei tachanunim bilvad v'lo b'divrei shefach. Be supplicate, but don't butter him up. That would be usur. O chanifa dvar machir. Right. Basically, anything you're going to say which is beyond a request, you know, thank you, good morning, how are you, all those things. That's all usur.
You don't think his befun of his davka. When he says levarcho befanav,
I don't think it's dafka.
Back to the tosfos.
Yeah, I don't think it's dafka. I assume he means like tiskul mitzvos, like something like that's the achronim takim. He means in the later ones. You know, levarcho befanav means tiskul mitzvos.
No, but knowing that, in other words, if you say I'm gonna daven for him,
I assume that's also buzzer. I assume. I don't know. And there's going to be, as we'll see, many later authorities who took this and said, yeah, what is Ribbis Dvarim? Ribbis Dvarim means I can't say good morning, I can't say thank you, I can't say anything. Ribbis Dvarim means I can't give you back $100 plus a thank you. I agree with Jerry. I can't buy this. That's what it means. I can't believe that's what's going on in the sugya. And this took me like weeks. I've gone over and over 100 times on it. You know, at this point I'm convinced that this is true. I can't believe that that's what Ribbis Dvarim is for many reasons, right? Several of them Jerry raised is, really, right? A thank you, a simple thank you that's worth money, that's Ribbis Dvarim. But let me prove it, and rather than give you my intuition. Rabbeinu Yonasan, 18. Ve'eino ragi lahaktim lo shalom mirav gadlo gvuraso va'achshev shalavim enu mechabdo asur tischar ma'osav omed v'notel shoyanosin eser dinarin o yoser k'dei sheyishalo b'shlomo kol eishim tzu. Rabbeinu Yonasan says, why is it asur to be makdim shalom? Because the guy would have paid 10 dinar or more for you to be makdim shalom. Okay. No simple thank you in the world deserves that much money, right? I can't. Rabbeinu Yonasan tells you, Ribbis Dvarim is asur because not there's no neshech and tarbit. There is tarbit. There's just no neshech, but there is actual tarbit. This is worth money. I can't imagine a thank you is worth money. So I sat down and decided I must be misunderstanding this entirely. And the key comes down to this phrase, makdim lo shalom. Right? It doesn't say you can't say good morning. It says something very specific, makdim lo shalom. We tend to think that means shalom. But I don't think that's true, and I'll prove it both from the Gemara and from contemporaneous sources. It'll be clearest probably if I just start with the contemporaneous sources. Skip to 21. This is a description of patronage in the Roman society, meaning the time of the Mishnah. Roman society also involved a system of patronage. Members of the upper class, the patroni, offered protection to freedmen or plebeians who became their clients. Patronage might consist of money, food, or legal help. Traditionally, any freed slaves became the clients of the former owner. In return, patroni received respect and political favors. During the empire, clients were required to offer daily greetings to their patroni, and the number of these greeters helped determine social status. Right? There was a concept in the ancient world, not of saying good morning, of being makdim shalom. And if you look at the long description, I didn't give it to you all of it, the way the patrona used to happen is you would go, the clients would line up at the patrona's door in the morning and give him a formal greeting which expressed their subservience to him. So my theory is that when the Gemara says Ribbis Dvarim is Asur, it doesn't mean a simple thank you or good morning. Because think about it, right? You didn't know the guy before. Now you do know him. So you see him in the street. You say good morning, right? Isn't that explicitly Asur in the Gemara? Or the Gemara says, if you didn't used to greet him and now you greet him, it's Asur. Well, now I greet him because I know who he is. I can't imagine that's Asur. I think it must be as Rabbi Yonason said, a greeting which is worth money. You understand why this greeting is worth money. It was a status symbol. And just to prove it from the Gemara seems to believe this as well. I'm not just making this up and saying, oh, it must be that the Gemara is talking about Makdim Shalom of the Patronai. Look at number 20, right? In the context of davening. Amar Rav, kolonotzin shalom l'chaveir kodem shizbal ki'ilu asa bama. Shenemar, chidlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama ba'bo ki bame nechshav hu. Al tikri bema ele bama. Right? If you are notain shalom to someone before davening, it's if you made a bama. Shmuel, amar bama bame chashavta lezeve lo la'eloha. So the Gemara says, but it can't be true. How could it be that you can say that it's also to say good morning to someone before davening? Masad Rav Sheshes, Biprakim, Shalom b'nei HaKavod u'meishiv, even during Kriya Shema itself, you're allowed to stop and greet somebody. So Tirgam Rabbi Abba b'mashkim l'pischo. We're not talking about saying good morning. We're saying mashkim l'pischo. You go to his door. Now, I always wondered, why is someone going out of his way to someone's door to say good morning? No, that was what people did. And now, in the context of brachos, it also makes sense. It's not that you can't say good morning to someone as you come into shul. It's that you can't pay homage to your patron before you pay homage to God. It's not a problem of greeting. It's a problem of mashkim lipischo. And I think that's the same thing in the context of Makdim Shalom. I gave you the Beis Yosef, which discusses this as well, in terms of how you greet Rebbeim, right? If you think about it, the Gemara has a very extensive code of how do you greet your Rebbe. Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori, right? How long does it take? Nowadays, we just say good morning. We don't have these formalities. But the world of Chazal, they clearly did have formalities. They had people who were mashkim l'pischo. They had certain ways that you were greeting people. So I think when the Gemara says that there's a thing of ribis dvarim, it doesn't mean you can't say thank you. It means that you can't now change the formal way you talk to your creditor, meaning you can't now show subservience to the creditor because he lent you money, because that's giving him status in return for the fact that he lent you money. That's what I believe is usher. Yeah.
That's very clever. But don't we have a clear statement, this wording, in Pirkei Avos, Ebi Makdim Shalom, L'chol Adam, right? This is a lingua that's already used.
Yeah, and I actually think that's what it means, that Makdim Shalom isn't just saying good morning, that Makdim Shalom means to treat other people as.
You're going to take your view and say that it's a special thing there.
Or it just means...
I think it's a pretty big thing to say that you should be Makdim. Don't wait for the other person.
Right, I think the word Makdim... I know, but I think if you look at the context in Roman society, and you look at the way the Gemara formulates it by davening, right... Makdim Shalom, right, and even just Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori, all of the greetings in Chazal are presumed to have a certain level of formality to them and meant to indicate a certain status. Now, I'm not saying that Makdim Shalom means to show everyone homage, right? I mean that what the Gemara is talking about is not a good morning. It's in any way changing the status symbols between you and the Malveh due to the loan. But I think, yeah, Makdim Shalom doesn't just mean that you should be the first one to say good morning. I think it means show other people respect, right? As if
good morning at any time. At any time.
I know it doesn't have that. I mean, I think when the Gemara says, the Mishnah says you'd be Makdim Shalom l'chaldam, you think about it. Rabbi Yochanan was so great because even a Goy Shebashuk, he would be Makdim Shalom. I think it's not just saying he would say good morning, is that he would show him respect, right? He would offer him a respectful greeting which had a formality to it.
I love the idea, and we've talked about it before, but you might want to look back at it. The Aruch HaShulchan in Archaim Peites, where he deals with the whole tangled question of who you can be makdim for and when in the morning, right, and all that. Right. So he brings different Rishonim who talk about being makdim and saying Tzafer Demaritav versus being makdim and not saying Tzafer Demaritav.
The complicating factor in the tefillah discussion, there's two problems. One is the mashkim l'pischos discussion. The other one is using the word shalom, which is assumed as a bracha. That's in the davening discussion.
But if this Roman thing is, you know, this patronage that they're doing in Roman society involves some kind of a script, I'm assuming it doesn't involve invoking the name of Shalom. In other words, how do you go to him to do this patronage thing and invoke only an informal greeting?
Well, I don't think you do.
But that's what he's talking. That's what he brings from the Rishonim.
Well, the Mashkim Lepiskal. Well, no, because the Patroni didn't have a formal statement. If you it was right, it's either Mashkim. There's two ways, right? There's Mashkim Lepiskal, and there's
I have
the
is that they entertain. He quotes Tamid Rabbeinu Yonasan as having the Makdim Lepiskal and just saying Tzafra the Maritav. And my question is,
right? And I assume that
could you get away with that?
No, no, you couldn't because it's right. There's two ways of doing it. It's either what you say or how you say it, right? That's the problem of Shalom Alecha Rebbe Omori, right? How you formulate the words can show status, and if you go out of your way or not to greet someone, shows status, right? I assume they're being mixed. And if I was doing the tefillah thing and trying to analyze it at hasof, I would say, but I assume that that's the point. You can't either change how you greet them or the way, you know, the sort of parameters in which you greet them. Just if you look, right? Right. If you look for a second, just the Mordechai in 23, you also get the feeling that he's talking about something formal. Again, not just like Patroni, but he's dealing with something formal. He says, "V'aser lahakdim lo shalom, meina rog lahakdim." Aval im machzik, Ratzalomar kodem alva lo tova, v'hamalva gam hu meitiva umachlek ze lo tova, baze ein kpeda. Right? It has to be that you're machdim shalom, and that you didn't owe each other favors before. Ken kazev rav yav, etzarach iyun, beperek misha meis, amrinan that hashushbines ein mo mishum ribis, delav mishum delo adaiti dehachayayev. And he says, the rav yav had to pointed out that the Gemara says that Shushbinis ain't bo ribbis. Now, what Shushbinis? Shushbinis was a formal monetary relationship, right, that you set up. That if I give you money, it's not just I make Sheva Brachos for you, you make it for me. It was a formal monetary obligation. I owe you Sheva Brachos now. Right? And the Gemara says Shushbinis ain't bo mishum ribbis because even though I may pay you a little bit more, a little bit less, right? The nature of the formal obligation is that I give you a Shevet Brachos, you give me a Shevet Brachos, or I bring without, you know, figuring out to the last dollar. But what is he doing by putting these in conversation? He's noting that there's, right, this is not good morning, not good morning. We're talking about Ribbis Dvarim, which is comparable to the formal obligations of a Shushban. These are formal, right? These are formal categories of Machzik Tova, of Shushbinis and the like. And my feeling as you read through the Rishonim, whether it be Rabbeinu Yonasan or the Mordechai, they're talking about not just, you know, they're not just talking like of random, you know, thank yous. They're talking about very formal categories. The Beis Yosef brings, you know, deals with this as well. He quotes because of Bahagos, Aval Machzik Lotova, Mamava Meshiv Lo Lamachzik Lotova, Ein Bekach Klum. Right? Again, he quotes from the Mordechai that if I am Machzik Lotova and he's Machzik Mitova, that's fine. Now, why should it be Mutter if I'm Machzik Himtova and he's Machzik Mitova? I'm giving him something. The point is, if we owe each other something, we haven't changed the status. Even if I'm giving him something, it doesn't matter. Right? The point is, it has to be that I've one directionally now changed the nature of the relationship. That tends to be my feeling here. If you want to go Jerry's way and say no, Machdim Shalom means simply saying being the first one to greet. Still, I might be right. We'll just look at this source for a second. Look at 25. The Nesiva Shalom just notes that maybe the Yesh Shalom or the Shiny Amira Shalom she'etzem hagdama Yeshno b'shinas kavod. Maybe the point is makdim. But even if it's makdim, the point is it's not good morning, it's not thank you, it's doing something fundamentally different in our relationship. Meaning, I used to, if I saw you, I said good morning. If you saw me, you said good morning. Now I make sure to always say good morning first. Even if you want to take it at that level, even he's intuiting that what's going on here, I'm doing something fundamentally different. Right, I tend to think that it's even more formal than that, but you could take it at a more minimalist level and say that anytime you do anything different, not just say thank you, but you initiate a different type of relationship, is going to be usher. Yeah,
my position is different, but anyway. But biblically, where do you first find anybody giving a drisha shola?
Boaz.
No.
that's the one we have it with Shalav.
I think by
the, well, that's where you have B'Shem Hashem.
By the well, by the Be'er, doesn't it say there?
He asks for Lavan, and they say Shalom.
Yeah, that's, I think, the first time you find it. And it's telling you that there, because that's a way of talking. And it goes back to biblical.
Okay.
Is peace with that person?
It's not actually a greeting, it's a question. It's actually a question. It's not a greeting, it's Hashalom Lo.
Yeah, that's but
right?
No.
How are you doing?
What?
How are you doing?
Is the question.
Hashalom Lo, Vayomer Shalom. It's a question and answer. No, it's a question and answer. It's not a greeting.
How are you doing? When we say how are you doing, it's a question.
Hashalom Lo, Vayomer Lo Shalom.
Yeah.
But it's a question. No, it's not. It's a question. It's Hashalom Lo.
Yeah, but that's the way you inquire.
Okay,
it's
but that
Drishat Shalom. It's an inquiry about.
Yeah, but that's not what it says. It says Makdim Shalom. Well, yeah, but that's not Makdim Shalom.
Well, that's why I say it's the Hakdama. The
but even if it's the Hakdama, it's still just a minimized version of it. Okay.
One question.
Yeah.
In that thing about saying the Shalom in the morning, isn't that because God's name is Shalom?
Yeah. So, as I said, in the davening thing, there's two things. One is using the word Shalom. The second is Mashkim L'Pischa, which is also even if you don't use the word Shalom. Right? And again, the davening thing, there's an added problem with the word Shalom because of Shem Hashem. But the Makdim is what I was focusing on. Okay. There is a weird midrash in the Yalkut, which I gave you here from the Yotzer Midrashim, which sort of throws everything into chaos. So my tendency, therefore, is to reject this girsa, as many of the Achronim do, but just to put it out there. The midrash says as follows, Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda approached Yosef. Amar Rabbeinu, Tzarach Adam lahachnif l'ishto misholom shalom bayis. So you have to butter up your wife for shalom bayis. Okay, fine. Ulebal chovo shel yilchatzenu. And to your creditor, so that he won't pressure you to give money. Ulirabo shilamdu Torah. And to your Rebbe, so he'll be willing to teach you Torah. Omishu machnef lachir eina ro b'Yeshua. But if you suck up to anybody else, then that's terrible. And this is actually quoted by the Orchot Tzadikim. This girsa, right? V'yachnav adam l'ishna v'shalom beiso v'shalom bayis l'bal chovo shilay chatzenu l'rabo shilamdenu Torah. As both the Nesiva Shalom notes and Mishnah Halacha, so don't you, whatever. This is very odd. Whatever Ribbis Dvarim is, going out of your way to be machnif seems to be problematic. Yeah. So you look at 28, 29, and 30. So one way is just to get rid of the girsa, which is what a lot of people do, right? You said, "V'inem shnei dvarim hashlosha rishonim ishto balchov v'rabba mutar lachnef lem avol mitzvah leka lemeimer klomar she'im be'emes l'tzarach lachnef l'ishto she'isha k'shera b'liza chin l'tzarach lachnef balchovo she'ish l'yershamayim v'liyachatenu v'liyachnef adra nir kiribis." He said, it must be that this is an achov, this is a rishus, and maybe not even Rishus, because in the case of the Balchov, it seems to be Aser v'chein meishish l'rabo shiyare Hashem u'mele yilmod imo tera b'li chanufa azar l'achnev v'etu rak b'shvil atamo rav atamidu, etc. If you look at the next one, he says, Ibra d'l'cha'ora tzarch ino maimotar l'achnev balchov, why is it mutter? Harei kaimelam da'filu imloya ragal l'achdem lo shalom azar l'achdem lo. You can't even be machdem shalom. So therefore he says, well, that's why if you look, v'sarach iyun, and then v'ayin taz, uvenukutza kesev, unahaytama hishmito har tzadikim. If you look in the or tzadikim, his girsa is that he got rid of it. V'sarach lomadim, it's really a kevin shemachnifle, v'lomaneu, bazeklum, mutter shalchatzeno balchov, debestama yasr v'sarach iyun. So he said, either you get rid of the girsa, or you say that no, machnif is mutter. Why? Because machnif, you're not giving him something because of the loan, it's your way of getting more. Right? The problem of Ribbis Dvarim is you give him something more because of the loan. If you're machnif because it's your way of getting a loan, right? That's right. You're not paying him for the loan. You're just trying to create a situation in which he's willing to lend you money. It's sort of like Ribbis Mukdemes, but not quite, right? Because it's what the Shulchan Aruch said. It's Divrei Tachanunim, right? It's
you don't know that it's
that what
work.
He's saying?
Something like that. Right?
That's not what it would sound like.
Or it would have been usur so that he won't pressure you, but it... Right. I mean, the simplest way is just to say, get rid of it, right? Which the Or Tzadikim gets rid of it. Right? He says, you're machnev ne ve lo mehaneu bezeh klum mutter shalei chatzenu
b'alcho. What's the pronoun on lo mehaneu bezeh klum?
You think it's...
That's my question.
I don't know.
Especially based on what he wrote in Kuf Lamed.
Yeah.
I don't think... I think this may be read differently.
Meaning, read it that... Right, either... I mean, either you're allowed to do it because you need it in advance, or because it's not really a benefit, it's just...
Yeah.
Or something like that. Maybe. Nesiva Shalom deals with this as well, and he notes that the Shulchan Aruch Harav had specifically said you can't say Chanufa, you could say Tachanunim, but you can't say Chanufa. And he says, Sarach Iyun Mehamedra Shehevi B'Sefer Kiryat HaMelech, which is one of the now 10,000 Perushim you can find in the Rambam Bar Ilan, which we just quoted. So he suggests either you get rid of the girsa, or you look four lines from the bottom. He says, He said, maybe it's minimal such that it reflects the relationship you're in, but doesn't add to it. Which, again, the Nesiva Shalom, I'm sure doesn't have the Roman background, but he does seem to be intuiting that it's possible ribiz dvarim is not doing things that are understood to be part of this relationship, but it's going farther than the relationship demands by showing subjugation. Again, I think that is the key to the whole thing. With or without the Roman context, I think ribiz dvarim is only in such context when you're really changing the nature of the relationship through it. That's why, as we'll see, there are achronim who say you can't say thank you, and that's what we're going to look at now. I tend to think that A, that position is probably not correct, and B, is less widespread than people even think it is, because if you actually read the Tshuvot, you'll see that most of them aren't really saying what everyone thinks they're saying. Yeah, Jerry.
Just a question. At the beginning, the first quote that you brought, lo yomer lo, when the Gemara says lo, as opposed to asur, isn't that a much lower?
Not necessarily.
Because
sometimes usur doesn't mean usur, and sometimes lo does mean usur, and sometimes mitzvah means mitzvah, and sometimes it doesn't. And
but could it? That's my question.
Not always, because usur could mean not usur, and lo could mean actually usur.
Lo, is that generally a lower form of prohibition?
I think so.
Not necessarily. But it can be.
But it could not be, in which case it's ambiguous.
But it can be, right? In other words, it...
But usur could be. But usur could mean usur, and usur could be not usur. Someone sent me to Shaila about this a few weeks ago, and he said, is there a difference between an ain, lo, and usur? I said,
yes.
Sometimes usur means usur, sometimes it means not usur. Sometimes lo means usur, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes ain means usur, and sometimes it doesn't.
For example, where it says, usur leilech, b'kaim as the kufa, b'lo yeilech.
Right, but that may not mean really usur.
So there it makes the difference, and it says some of the Noisekelims, they say it's lois midas chasidus.
Correct, but usur might also. But the Ritva says that usur is sometimes midas chasidus.
But if you're trying to look for
I don't know. I never buy these things because you know because lo, usur, and ain are all ambiguous, right? I don't think you can really prove it. That's my feeling. Okay.
I would have said the Otzer Midrashim could be read a little bit differently altogether, going back to this Lo and Usur thing, which would be to say these three cases are cases in which Chanufa is justified because what you are going to receive is Talmud Torah, is Shalom Bayis, or is avoiding harm. And not that it's telling you go out and do this, but
it's just that it's not Chanufa classically.
What you want to gain, because we apply the heter for Chanufa to avoid harm,
like
the Gemara in Erchin with the guy who's going to kill him, who's going to kill Ula.
Yeah, it could be.
That's why I would have read it.
It could be, but I mean, it would still be.
Sorry.
It's tzarich.
Well, again, that's part of the discussion whether it's mutter, or it's a whatever.
Okay. Tzarich.
Okay.
You're right.
Anyways.
Smaller than I was thinking.
Okay. So what about thank you? So, people quote Reb Moshe as saying it's usher to say thank you. I was so convinced this was not right, and that Reb Moshe couldn't really say this, that on my contemporary halacha test, I put... The question was, are you allowed to say thank you to someone who lent you money? I said, yes. I'm aware there's a machlokas, and I'm aware you're going to take points off of it, but I refuse to say there's even a machlokas about this. And they took off points, and that was it. But everyone says, oh, Reb Moshe Feinstein says it's usher. Reb Moshe's Talmidim say he never said such a thing. It is mutter to say thank you. Where do they get this notion as usher? Because, 31. Imutter letain todah b'sefer, b'sefro shemad pis l'mi shehilvu lo kesef hadbasas svaro. Are you allowed to say thank you for someone who lent you money, not gave you money as a gift, but lent you money to publish your sefer? Reb Moshe said, "Nir l'fineis daiti shebeloshon todah kemosha asher lomer lamal v'avor alvasam midin rabbis dvarim asher gam lichtov ulahadpis avoyilachol lichtov v'loshon hodah sheis barachem hashamayim." He says, no, you're not allowed to do it. What are you not allowed to do in context, as he says? You can't print a big thank you at the beginning of your book. Thank you to such and such for allowing my sefer to be published. All you can do is a hodah and say, acknowledge, you know, the blank foundation enabled the production of this sefer.
For a loan?
For a loan. Yeah. A gift, obviously, yeah. You could say thank you, right? If the guy gave you a gift, you could say it. But he said if it's just a loan, you can't publish it. So I think it was I saw from Rabbi Forrest. Rabbi Forrest said, everyone misquotes Reb Moshe. They say, oh, Reb Moshe says it's usher to say thank you. No, he said it's usher to print a big fancy schmancy thank you at the beginning of your book, right? Yeah, that's clearly giving somebody something. That, he said, is usher. A basic thank you is polite. What are you talking about? So people quote Reb Moshe as saying that it's usher to say thank you. I'm not sure Reb Moshe ever said it, and several of his Talmidim suggest that he never said such a thing. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in 33, in his tshuva, though not in the Ha'ara, says exactly that. He said, "Kasva achorim duad in nami shelo yomra alova lamalva toda." Rabbim noagim mishum kach lomer makom zet tiskul mitzvos. Said, because some achronim say you can't say thank you, so some people say tiskul mitzvos and said. He said, this is ridiculous. He said, ki tiskul mitzvos humamish bracha. If you want to find one which is worse, tiskul mitzvot is a bracha. You should be zoche to be more, two more mitzvot. Right? V'ilu amira todah. That's just saying that you're not an ingrate. Like, thank you is not, like, what is wrong with you people? But in the Ha'ara, I have to admit, in the Ha'ara, Rav Shlomo Zalman retracted this common sense, apparently, and said, the Ha'ara claims, "Umichtav l'chacham echa." This is 34. Kasa Ravina Zatzal Shemiyav l'achasher pirsay madvarm biyarchon Maria. No delo mishulchan aruch Rav Hana. Later in life, he was told that the Shulchan aruch Rav said thank you as usher. Ulamrot. Sorry, that should be lamrot. Lamrot shemisvara hayinira lo shetzar lehodot l'malva. Even though logically he thought you should say thank you, afal pichin hosiv miyad al girlion hayarchon anal shu choser mimashe kasev mibnei shalacha mibnei halacha shulchan aruch Rav ubikesh rabbeinu zatzal lehosim advarim kishehut bezu advarim mincha shlomo kan vamatik lo hirgish baze vidstar rabbeinu zatzal alze. That Rav Shlomo Zalman retracted his position. He wanted it to be printed in mincha shlomo that it's usher to thank you, and the first printer didn't, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was pained by this his whole life. Uvasofa mechtav kozav shehu tikave l'takein bezrazem yishbarach et zeh uvazeh asinu ratzon rabbeinu zatzal shetziva l'takein edvarim. And now we've corrected it and said that Rav Shlomo Zalman said you can't say thank you. I don't know what to believe, because his tshuva sounds so much more Rav Shlomo Zalman-like than this Ha'ara, so I don't know what to tell you. I tend to think that Rav Moshe thought it was mutter, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought at least Misvar was mutter. The Chazon Ish sort of seems like he actually thought it was usher. You look in Orchas Rabbeinu in 35, it says that Kishamar and Chazon Ish Zatzal, or Zekukal, fine. Helva li aschuman al omar li usher lecha lomar yasher kochacha mishum dehevi ribiz dvarim. The Chazon Ish, so some people say, oh, the Chazon Ish said you couldn't say thank you. Well, not totally. The Chazon Ish, when he lent somebody else money, he told the guy, don't say thank you to me. Look, you want to be machmir, shulchan aruch Rav. So fine, if you lend somebody money, you can tell them, don't say thank you to me. I'm not convinced that the Chazon Ish would have said to, would have told you a someone else, that he was borrowing money from someone else, he wouldn't have said thank you. I don't know. You skip to 37. I just gave you just to look at the English stuff online, right? Business halacha. On the other hand, many poskim contend the Shulchan Aruch Harav's restriction does not include expression of thanks that conform with customs of etiquette. Many people say that even the Shulchan Aruch Harav would be modeh. What is this that you're pinning it on the Shulchan Aruch Harav? In our time, saying thank you, a similar expression of appreciation, is a similar form of etiquette. What?
It's a veino ragil thing.
Yeah. Right? It's an veino ragil. And therefore, some people say not only is it mutter, even the Shulchan Harav, that is the source for ossering it, would have agreed that Bizman Azeh said the restriction is limited to giving thanks and expressing appreciation in a manner that goes beyond the minimal standards of etiquette. This is especially true in our time, when people say thank you for all sorts of minor things, and the thank does not imply importance, like greeting the lender first, which Chazal ruled was prohibited, right? Like, we say thank you for everything, and you know, this is Canada. You say thank you and sorry for literally everything, right? It's like, what are you talking about? Now, there are people who... who come up with clever things. The Mishnah's Dvarim says, okay, don't say thank you, say thank you for your effort. Right? Okay. Right? Other people say, okay, I'll tell you this story that comes up in Svarim, but I don't know what to do with it. I think it's with the altar. It was the altar, I think it was. That someone, he lent one of the Talmidim money, and then the guy came back. He said, thank you, and he yelled at him, don't you know that it's usher to say thank you? Fine. Then the next time, so he lent him money, he didn't say thank you. And he started yelling at him, how could you not say thank you? He said, what, you told me it was usher to say thank you. He said, no, you should want to say thank you and only not say it because it's usher. But I saw in your eyes that you had internalized it too much, and you felt like you shouldn't say thank you. I don't know what any of that means, right? Whatever, right? If you don't want to say, there's all this discussion, I gave it to you in 38. Okay. Thank you, as I said, I think it's mutter, but some people say it's usher. Tiskul mitzvos. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's worse, because that at least is a bracha. Other people say it is better. Why it's better? Because, I don't know, it's for spirituality. You're saying that, I don't know exactly. Yasher kochacha. I tend to agree with this guy in Neshech Kesef that many people just said it's mutter for the very simple reason that even if Tiskul Mitzvot or Yasher Kochacha is technically a bracha, nobody knows what they're saying. So what are you telling me? I even saw somebody suggest, I don't remember where, I saw this years ago, that there's a difference between whether someone says Yasher Kochacha or Shkoyach. Because if he says Yasher Kochacha, that means he understands what he's saying because he bothers to say it grammatically correctly. He understands he's giving a bracha. If he says Shkoyach, he doesn't understand what he's saying. Anyways, my feeling is that we should follow the poskim who say that, yeah, a basic thank you is clearly mutter, going beyond praising him lavishly. So that's usher. But ribbis dvarim is only when you're really changing the relationship. Just quickly, on the one of the Mishnah, just so we see it, 39:40-41. So the klais of the Mishnah, not of the Gemara, was hodieni imba ishponi. So what is hodieni imba ishponi? So they'll say it outside. This is machlok rishonim. Whether hodieni ishponi ba means that the malve can't tell the lova, do me a favor and tell me when such and such is coming. Or does it mean that the malve can't say, when such and such is coming, I'll let you know and you'll provide for him. Now, the problem, if you say it's the first one, I understand. That's Ribbis Dvarim. It's just doing a mere favor. If it's the latter one, isn't that Ribbis Daraisa? It's Neshech Utarbid. Right? You're saying, when such and such comes, you have to give him food. Isn't that Tarbid? So the Taz says, maybe not. Maybe the reason that, even according to those we've shown him, it's not Ribbis Mamon, is maybe you would have done it anyways. Right? Most people, if someone's coming, right? You'll bring them in, you'll give them a drink. The problem isn't that you're giving them a drink, because that's not Ribbis Dvarim, you're giving it to a third party. The problem is that you're doing it because the guy told you, and the problem isn't the money, it's the knia, right? It's the nichna lo. Right? The Taz, I think, again, goes in the direction that we're saying. He's saying even this one, which might actually have a monetary component to it, right, the real problem in this, in both ways, right, whether it's the favor of letting me know when the guy comes, or even giving him food because you said so, if I would have given him food because I'm a nice guy, anytime someone comes and I give him food, but I'm doing it because you said so, even if it's not ribbis because of the monetary component, the problem is the hachna'ah, it's the, right, I'm doing it because you told me to, and because you're my creditor. And again, And that, I think, goes in this direction that we've been suggesting, that ribis dvarim, really the problem is only a case where it really transforms the relationship. I'm doing it because you told me, right? Or I'm greeting you in a different way, but if it's just a thank you, it's just what the poskim called derech hanimus. It's being polite, so I don't think that falls under ribis dvarim, and I think just misunderstanding of the sugya. The last thing you can look at yourself is the piskei tshuva quotes on the yaivetz, that this is a fun case, right? Is what happens if I borrow money from an adam chashuv? If I lend money to an adam chashuv, can I give him a gift? Or, because in Kiddushin we have this notion that if you give a gift to an adam chashuv, right, that might count as money. So if I lend money to adam chashuv, is it a violation of ribis for me to give him an extra gift? Because he doesn't normally accept gifts, but he'll let me give him a gift if I also lend him money. Is that a violation of ribis dvarim? Possibly, because we know in other places that is considered ribis, that's actually considered monetary. That's where the Pesach Tshuva quotes from the Ivets, and we'll finish with that.